This is a mini episode of the Wistful Thinking Podcast. Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more movie and nostalgia podcasts, visit cageclub.me. Recent news about the sexual predation of Hollywood heavyweight Harvey Weinstein and other men in film, TV, and media got Jordan and I talking about what it means for us as fans. We didn't have much time to get into it, so this conversation is lacking in the depth and nuance that serious issues like sexual violence and sexual harassment deserve, but we felt like we needed to at least address it after the past week, or month, or year, or like, I don't know, the whole history of film and television. As we touch on in this mini-episode, this news is hardly news to us, but it is surprising to see so many people actually caring about it now. We hope that with that, these things will start to change. Even though we mostly talk about the harassment and assault of women in the workforce in this episode, this is not something that only happens to women. Sexual violence and harassment can happen to anyone, anywhere, at any time. If you or a loved one is experiencing or recovering from sexual violence or abuse, you can call the National Sexual Assault Telephone Hotline at 800-656-4673 or visit RAIN online for resources. Their website is rain.org. That's RAINN.org. We'll be back later this week with our regularly scheduled episode of Wistful Thinking. But in the meantime, Jordan starts us off with some not so wistful thinking about Harvey Weinstein.
I feel like the thing that's interesting for us to talk about is, like, where do we now as media consumers draw the line? Like, obviously we can say, okay, from now on I won't watch things that has this person in it, or, you know, if this person had something to do with it, I won't watch it, and, you know, I'll try to, you know, choose my media more wisely. But If you look at how many people are coming out and saying that something shitty has happened to them,
I mean, you would never watch a movie again.
Well, exactly. And so what are we supposed to do? Just never watch anything? Just, like, completely disregard the whole industry because it's built on grossness?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just... it's so frustrating because obviously Weinstein is just the very tippy top of a very disgusting iceberg. And the thing that, like, just fills me with rage and makes me want to turn into a dragon is that, like, throughout the entire history of film and television and vaudeville before that, and, you know, throughout history, like, women are treated so poorly, so unbelievably poorly, and they have to put up with this stuff and stay quiet about it if they want to, you know, keep working in this town. But, like, for the worst roles, like, women in film are just set pieces or props, or, you know, they're just there to move the story forward, and they're not, so often they're not these fully fleshed out characters. And it just makes me so mad that they have to put up with this bullshit for these parts.
Yeah,
you know, it would be one thing if they got to play, like, really juicy, good parts that were, you know, whatever. Like, this kind of behavior is never appropriate. It's especially not appropriate in a professional setting, and it's, like, that much worse that it's happening in a professional setting, and then that the women have to put up with it for these garbage parts.
Right, just to be, like, the token girl in something.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be skinny, and they have to be certain things, otherwise they're not even considered for it.
Right.
And then, well, two things I want to say. Have you listened to You Must Remember This?
Oh, of course, yeah. Love that
so
show.
So, listening to that, I really thought about for the first time is, like, there's, like, a whole, I mean, every generation of women before ours, really, like, in the context of Hollywood, there's, like, a whole generation of women that just got, like, destroyed. Controlled and then destroyed, and they died young, and they were alcoholics, and they destroyed their bodies, and they destroyed their lives for this, and were made to feel like garbage the whole time. And, like, that, you know, that also just made me think about, like, well, that's just how most women were treated at that time. And, like, you hear of all these women, like, going crazy. And it's like, well, no wonder. Like, they literally weren't allowed to be humans, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, how much have we lost as... how much has the world lost because of that? Because you only allowed 50% of your population to do anything.
Mm-hmm. And to tell stories, too. Mm-hmm. Because we know that, you know, by the numbers, as far as films written by, directed by, produced by, it, like, you know, it's men by an extreme majority. So 50% of stories are just not even being told. And yet we're going to do this reboot thing over and over and over again and keep telling the same stories when, you know, and it's not just women, people of color, disabled people. Like, you know, there is just a treasure trove of stories to be told because we've only been making white guy movies for the entire history of film.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I want to touch on is, like, more so than any other generation, like, starting with ours, like, we grew up with TV as our babysitter, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that was how we learned about the world. Maybe not everybody. Like, not everybody grew up that way, but I did, and a lot of people that I know did. Like, that's how I learned about, like, the world and what the world was supposed to be and, like, what I was supposed to be. And, like, I feel like I always, like, obviously when you watch it, you know something's missing. But, like, it wasn't until, like, pretty recently when, like, more and more and more people started to talk about it more that I was, like, I actually can't even watch certain things anymore. There's actually a lot of things that I can't watch anymore, and that's never happened to me before.
Off the top of your head, like, is there anything in particular?
I don't care about hero white guy movies, like, at all.
I also don't care about anti-hero white guy movies either at this point, because that has just also been,
like,
done to
any
death.
Movie that's just, like, a story about one or several white guys doing a thing, like, I literally just don't care. Oh, I don't care.
Yeah. yeah, I know exactly what you mean by that.
Like, including all those dumb superhero movies. I don't care.
Yeah, of course. But even things like The Big Short and, like, that string of movies starring, like, the same five white guys.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm just like, do these even have different plots? I can't even, like, tease them out from each other in my head.
Yeah, and it's like, they might be good movies. Like, I saw that. Sure. I saw The Big Short just because it's the one you brought up. I saw that, mm-hmm. and I did like that movie. But, like, also, like, who cares? Like, I just, you know, like,
how many stories about the finance industry can we really tell? When, like, you know, if we're, because it was like that, it was The Wolf of Wall Street and a few others that, like, all came out right around the same time.
Well, and doesn't that also illustrate, like, who fucked all this shit up?
Right.
Bunch of white guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I would be interested in seeing maybe films told from other, like, perspectives of other characters mm-hmm. in those movies.
Sure.
You know, like, for instance, the women characters, because their stories are probably a lot more interesting and a lot more, well, horrible, probably. And I mean, not that the stories are bad, but, like, the stories of, like, what they had to put up with are horrible.
Yeah.
Because it's not just film, it's not just television, it's not just media. Men like Harvey Weinstein and all of the other guys that have, you know, come to the fore recently in media, they're in every industry, every single industry.
Well, that brings up something really interesting, which I forgot that we had in common, which is that we used to both work for the same person.
You forgot about that?
I didn't really forget about it, but, like, I don't think about that a lot because...
Yeah.
Because I was never harassed there by mm-hmm. by that person.
But there were some uncomfortable situations.
It was an environment that is exactly what we are talking about. I always felt mm-hmm. safe, but that doesn't mean I didn't feel uncomfortable. And so at a certain point, when I worked there, I started to make a list of things that were said that made me really uncomfortable because I thought, I don't know, I might need this one day. And so in the last, like, week, I actually went back and I looked at it and I was like, ugh.
I have a really sick feeling in my stomach just hearing you say, like, hearing you talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was disgusting. And, like, that's, like, but part of the reason why I couldn't stand to work in the media industry anymore was because of things like that. It was, like, because it was just so clear to me that so much of it is just built on this, like, white guy power and the exploitation of not just women, but like people who want something and people who will, because the media industry is a place where like people will do whatever it takes to get whatever they want out of it, you know. They want to be a producer, they want to whatever, you know. It's like it's a power industry,
right? As most industries are.
Yeah. And it was just, it felt gross. Like, even when I was working on, in work environments that were more professional and, you know, didn't feel icky, it just, like, never felt right. The whole system just seems, I don't know, I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, I couldn't either. And I also worked in the tech industry, and I couldn't deal with it there either. You know, there was, like, tech comes with its own set of weird history and architecture and power imbalances, and the way that women in tech are treated. Because I think that in technology, to people who work in technology and they drink the Kool-Aid, you know, it's. I think that a lot of them probably would say, like, oh, well, we're better than the entertainment industry. You know, we're saving the world over here. We're, you know, creating important things.
But most
and
of
we're
them
smarter
aren't.
Than them. Well, yeah.
We all know that's not true.
The underlying truth is that, exactly. But, like, so much of it is around intellectual property and intellectual prowess, and the way that women are degraded in that industry and passed over and ignored. And like I said, I'm sure this stuff happens in other industries too, but like, oh man, I'm shaking just talking about it, because I'm just so uncomfortable and mad about all of it.
Well, and even so, like, so now I work in circus, and right.
And came from gymnastics, which is its own thing.
And the majority of people that I know who do circus in my community are women. But every professional circus show that I go to see is mostly men.
Interesting.
So even in an industry where you'd think that maybe it would be more even, it's not.
Yeah.
And there are obviously exceptions to that, just like there are with everything. But, you know, in a lot of the performances you see, they still put women in pretty traditional women roles and men in pretty traditional men roles. And my favorite thing is when I see something that really breaks that. But I honestly haven't seen a ton of it.
Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, it makes me... You know, I'm not a small girl.
You're pretty small.
And well, yes, yes, but like in my world, I'm not.
Yeah.
In my world.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, if you look at other people who do circus, like I'm big compared to so many of them. And that's really weird. But I felt like that my whole life anyway, because, you know, I mean, we know what we see on the screens.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah. And women would always, like, if I talked poorly about how I saw myself physically, women would always be like, oh, just you wait. You're going to get older, and you're going to look back at pictures of yourself now, and you're going to think, what was I thinking? And I'm so mad because it's 100% true. Because I look back at my pictures of myself as a teenager, you know, as in my early 20s, I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah, I feel the same. Well, I'm finally at a place where, like I have to think about my body a lot because of what I do. And I'm finally at a place with it where I'm like, no, I'm strong and I'm awesome. And, but it took a long time to feel that way. And even when I weighed like 30 pounds less than I did now, I felt awful. And I look back at myself and I'm like, wait, I was so skinny. Like, what was I talking about? But like, I had like friends in gymnastics growing up who would call me fat, like to my face. Like, yeah. And if somebody's calling you fat and you never see yourself represented somewhere.
Yeah, like you don't know any better.
You just think it's true.
I must be fat then.
Yeah, like even if you know like logically that that's not true, like you're like, well, this must be how people see me.
Mm-hmm. Even though like you're looking in a funhouse mirror. Mm-hmm. The culture itself is like this insane funhouse mirror. So I know that we don't have much time left. So I just want to bring it back around to kind of the question that you posed at the beginning, like, what are we supposed to do? Just like never watch anything again? Which is like not obviously for people who started working in this stuff because we love this stuff and are doing a podcast because we love this stuff. Like, that's not a solution. The Cage Club Podcast Network was going to do a Ben Affleck show and then decided against it after some allegations came out about him. Some older, very horrendous allegations against Ben Affleck's brother have been around for quite a while. So, like, apparently they come from a family of shitheads.
I had a hard time because, like, Casey Affleck in particular makes movies that I want to see.
Yeah.
And that's, like, what do I do?
Right. I mean, and so many of, like, my favorite movies are made by people who are, you know, like, Rosemary's Baby, made by Roman Polanski, who had to flee the country and has never set foot back in the United States because he drugged and raped a teenager. Like, Woody Allen. Oh, my God. You know, like, this is, it's endemic to the entire system. And so, like, Joey was saying, you know, you have to separate the art from the artist and yada, yada, yada. And to a certain extent, that is true. And it's true, you know, in the art world and it's true in film and whatever. But, like, at what point do we say no? Like,
well, right, exactly.
That's not
like,
good enough anymore.
With artists or with any humans, like, yes, humans are flawed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to separate the art from the artist, or, you know, if you have to separate the person from the politician, like, with our public figures, like, where do you draw the line then? And I guess maybe the line is just different for everybody. Yeah. It's like what they are and are not willing to put up with. But if we all drew our line, if we all drew a hard line at, like, no, we won't support somebody who even puts down women, you know, like, how fast would things change if we all really drew a hard line there?
Right.
Because nobody would be making any money anymore, you know? And so they would have to change.
Yeah. I don't know. Because, yeah, I mean, it's not limited just to sexual assault and sexual harassment. It is extends into,
I mean, I think about somebody like David O. Russell,
who is, like, notoriously abusive to his actresses on set. There was that video of him screaming at Lily Tomlin during the filming of I Heart Huckabees.
Yep.
Another one of my favorite movies.
I love that movie.
Right? It's a great movie. But, like, I'm not okay with anyone being treated like that under any circumstances. And so, I mean, the question remains open-ended for me about, you know, what do we do and at what point do we not separate the art from the artist? But, like, I just am so angry and, like, mixed up about all of this stuff.
Yeah, me too. And it honestly makes me care about all of this stuff a lot less.
Yeah.
I don't care as much as I used to.
Yeah, same.
It's less interesting. It feels less important. It doesn't feel fun anymore.
No. No, I mean, and, yeah, pretty much. Like, we were just recording our episode about the Addams Family, and I mentioned watching American Horror Story Coven, and, like, I almost didn't make it past the first or second episode because there's a rape scene. And, like, rape is a huge issue, and it's something that we should be talking about, but it's, like, it's always done as a plot device and not as like, and not treated as a serious issue. So like, that's starting to be one of the places that I draw a line where it's like, if you can't tell a story without a rape plot line, like, I'm not really interested anymore. Yeah. Because it's exploited for the sake of a story so much.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I won't watch Game of Thrones. Also the dragons. I'm just not into dragons, but I'm also really not into gratuitous rape scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad we talked about this, because I feel like I can't participate in this stuff without at least acknowledging it.
Well, and I feel every time, this happened a lot with Nicolas Cage movies, mm-hmm. I would point out the problems with the women. And I feel like Joey and Mike would always, like, make fun of me a little bit for doing that. Like, oh, Jordan and her, like, feminist, you know, point of view. But, yeah. But that's not, and not, they weren't terrible about it, but they honestly just don't see those things. They don't see them. And so when I point them out, I feel like they see me a certain way, because I'm like, no, this is like mm-hmm. what a woman sees when she watches this. And it's just so foreign to them.
Yeah.
I think they do the best they can, but they just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, it'll be interesting. Yeah. And I was talking to Joey earlier today about the Charlize Theron series that they're doing instead of Ben Affleck. And I think it'll be interesting to hear their journey.
Yeah.
With that stuff on it.
Yeah. I'm glad they finally chose a woman.
Me too.
It's time. I'm mad it's that time. It's not Tilda Swinton, but...
I'm mad that it's not Cate Blanchett. All great women. But, like, it will be... I mean, it's kind of... Because we were... I was thinking about doing a show specifically about a woman's career. And I settled on Sandra Bullock, and then... And actually, Sandra Bullock is a bad example of this, but, like, in general, to pick a single actress and look at everything that she's ever been in would be a really degrading experience because of the way that women, even, you know, big-ticket women, are treated in film in general. It would just be very depressing. So I'm glad that we wound up with Wistful Thinking instead.
Yes. But I do think that maybe looking back at some of the ways that the things were made is a new lens that we can use for some of it. Not all the time.
Yeah, I can't do it all the time.
It's too stressful.
It is too stressful.
Be angry all the time.
Yeah, that's how I felt like this whole past week, because it was just like this ever escalating thing about Harvey Weinstein.
Well, and it still is escalating.
Well, yeah, I got home from work on Friday evening and saw on Twitter that like Oliver Stone is kind of next on the chopping block.
Good.
And
had this go after them all.
That was exactly how I felt. I had this rush of like, yes, burn it all to the ground.
I mean, yeah, do it and then we'll rebuild it. It's fine.
Yeah. Sure. And on that note, thanks for listening to Wistful Thinking.